It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Speaker Pelosi is convening the chairman of those committees leading the impeachment inquiry. That's Nadler, Schiff, Engel, Waters, and the like. It's going to be abuse of power and obstruction of justice. That's what we expect to be two of the articles, at least, that will be unveiled today. And this is after, really, that committee, which I made it till about 1 or 1:30, Brian, till I couldn't take any more. But it just devolved into vicious partisan fighting.
Is this when we just hear staff ask questions of other staff and the members get dealt out of this whole hearing? And for the next 4 hours, you're going to try to overturn the result of an election with unelected people giving
gentlemen will suspend.
In the end, they arrived basically where they began, Chairman Nadler and Ranking Member Collins making closing arguments.
President Trump violated his oath to the American people. He placed his own private interests ahead of our national security.
And at the end of the day, all this is about a clock and a calendar, because they can't get over the fact Donald Trump is president of the United States and they don't have a candidate that they think can beat him.
After the White House blasted the hearing, saying the president did nothing wrong, but that doesn't stop this march to impeachment. The next step, the markup. That's where the articles are actually written in the Judiciary Committee. We'll see that probably this week. Then they'll vote on them. Then it's off to the House floor for the full historic vote, possibly before Christmas.
Griff Jenkins this morning on Fox and Friends. Sandy Rios with you. And of course, to repeat what Griff just said, two articles now have been written, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Interestingly enough, obstruction of Congress. And of course, they want to rush it through and have the vote before Christmas, as Griff said. Now, the hearing yesterday lasted over 9 hours, over 9 hours. And if you tuned in at all, you heard a lot of contention. Griff is right about that. But, you know, my personal opinion is that there should be a lot of contention. It shouldn't be business as usual. I'll give you an idea of how this went down. Gerald Nadler gaveled the thing into session and began his remarks. And this is what happened. Clip
and two. Then I will recognize the ranking member for an opening statement. After that, we will hear two sets of presentations. We will hear 30-minute opening arguments from counsels for the majority and the minority of this committee.
You hear people laughing? Interesting. You know, interesting response. So the heckler is saying, basically, you're the one committing treason. We voted for Donald Trump, and Americans are sick of Democratic treason. I thought it was a pretty courageous move, pretty interesting. The shoe absolutely on the other foot. So that kind of set the stage for what became a very contentious hearing. But there was a lot of substance to it. I'm going to give you one other example of the contention, because this was Louis Gohmert's involvement with Nadler. It was just, you can hear it. I'll let you listen it for yourself. The first voice you're going to hear is Gerald Nadler and then Louis Gohmert. Let's listen clip seven.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, sir,
Mr.
you're...
Mr. Chairman, parliamentary inquiry.
The gentleman is not recognized for parliamentary inquiry.
Mr. Chairman, what is...
The gentleman is not recognized. The gentleman, Mr. Burke, has the time.
We're going to ignore the rules.
We are not
allow witnesses to ask the questions. Then,
gentlemen, will
how many other rules are you just going to disregard?
Gentlemen will suspend. Parliamentary inquiries are not in order at this time.
Well, how about a point of order?
Point of order?
This is not appropriate to have a witness
have a point of
be a questioner
have a point
of somebody
order,
that was a witness when he was.
Gentlemen will suspend.
It's just wrong.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen will refrain
Mr. Chairman,
from
point
making
of inquiry.
Gentlemen,
well, I made a point of order, and you won't rule on it.
I have not heard a point of order. If the gentleman has a state of point,
Mr. Chairman,
point gentleman
of order.
Has a point of order. He will state your point of order.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
There is no rule nor precedent for anybody being a witness and then getting to come up and question. And so
I have ruled
we would. The point of order is he's inappropriate to be up here asking questions.
That is not a point of order. He's here in accordance with Rule 6-6.
How much money do you have to give to get to do that?
The gentleman will not cast aspersions on members of staff of the committee. Gentlemen,
Mr. Chairman,
it was a legitimate order.
Mr. Burke has the time.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Is Mr. Burke a member of the committee?
Mr. Burke has the time.
Mr. Chairman, I have a legitimate
point of order.
Mr. Burke has the time.
You have to recognize point of order.
Point of order. The gentleman will state a point of order.
This gentleman is presenting his opinions as a witness. He's supposed to present the material
gentleman
facts
will
in the
point
report,
of order.
Not to appear for his opinions. Is that right or not?
The gentleman, that is not a point of order. It is Mr. Burke's time pursuant to
it's
Rule 6-6.
It's inappropriate testimony in the committee.
It is. I have ruled the gentleman has the time pursuant to Rule 660.
All right, so that's the first part of it. And then one last thing. I think this is the congressman from Arizona, Andy Biggs. I believe this is his final word on this. This is clip 8.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman.
The gentleman will state a point
Mr.
of order.
Mr. Yes, that's yes, not my Rule 660.
The gentleman will state a point of order if he has one.
Yes, the point of order is this. We operate by rules. If there's nothing specifically in the rule permitting this, we go by precedent. It is unprecedented for a person to come and sit who you've described as a witness to then return to the bench and begin questioning.
The gentleman has stated,
that is a point of order.
The gentleman has stated...
is that a point of order? Yes,
that is a point of order. That is not
all right,
a point
that's
of
enough
order,
of
but
that.
I will
the
point
they're
out.
Talking about is that the attorney for the Democrats on that committee was called to be testifying yesterday of that 9 hours. So he is, of course, very biased, and he gives his opinion. We don't even haven't even heard much about that, but you can imagine the kinds of things he said. And then at this point in the hearing, Gerald Nadler calls him up on the dais with the rest of the congressmen to ask questions of the other people, primarily the Republican attorney. So he gets to move from being the witness to getting up on the dais with the rest of the congressman and sitting over the Republican attorney and asking him questions, and that's why they were so angry. Nothing like that has ever happened. It's not part of their rules. And so it was a mess, and I don't blame them for fighting. I think God bless them for fighting. This is a time to fight. If ever there was a time to fight, it is now. Now, there was some substance, and I want you to hear it. Doug Collins, who's the minority leader in that committee, was questioning the attorney for the one of the attorneys who was testifying for the Democrats. Let's listen to the back and forth. Clip 9.
As I remember going over to the Ukraine, convincing our team, our leaders, convincing them that we should provide for loan guarantees. I went over, I guess, the 12th or 13th time to Kiev. I was supposed to announce that there was a $1 billion loan guarantee. And I got a commitment from Poroshenko and they said that I would take action against, that they would take action against the state prosecutor. They didn't. So they said they were walking out of the press conference. I said, nah, I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have authority, and you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. Laughter. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the $1 billion. I'm getting ready to be leaving here. And I think about 6 hours, I looked at them and said, I'm leaving here in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, he got fired. Did he ask for something, request something, and hold something of value?
He did. George Kent testified that was...
I think I'll do what you did. George Kent testified this. I'm asking about not George Kent. I'm asking about this question.
Right, but it's important context.
It's not. Answer this question. Did he or did he not? Either Joe Biden's a liar telling a story to make people impressed, or he actually did this. Which is it?
He did it pursuant to U.S. official policy.
So he did it in withholding actual dollars, actual thing, holding this out there. So Joe Biden, of everybody that we discussed about, is the only one that's done a quid pro quo. He's the only one that's used taxpayer dollars to actually threaten a foreign government. And yet we're sitting here pretending that this is not happening. We're sitting here pretending that a president of the United States now would not be concerned. Look, you look at it this way. Joe Biden's a terrible candidate. He can destroy himself on the campaign trail, but he can't get by this. And it doesn't matter who brings it up. It doesn't matter who does it, because this is what happened. And you can whitewash it all you want. You can go over whatever you want. But that's what he did. He's either a liar or he did it. And he did it.
All right, so what Doug Collins was doing was paraphrasing what Joe Biden actually said, and that is that he threatened Ukraine if they did not fire the prosecutor who was getting ready to interrogate his own son, Hunter Biden, they would withhold aid. And that's what he did. He bragged about it, and Doug Collins is saying he's actually the only person who did this quid pro quo, and he spells out what it means to do quid pro quo. And the attorney, by the way, is Daniel Goldman. He's the Democratic counsel. All right, so he's pressing him to the wall about, you know, you're accusing the president of doing, he didn't do that. Joe Biden is the only one who actually did what you're accusing. And then they continue with clip 10.
Who ordered it? Was it you or was it Chairman Schiff? And then why was it decided, except for nothing but smear purposes, to be included in the Schiff report?
Well, I'm not going to get into the deliberations of our investigation with you. And I will tell you the reason it was included in the report is because the calls were surrounding important evidence to our investigation. And I think that your question is, frankly, not better directed not at me, but at the people who were having conversations.
Oh, no. We're not going to play that game. No, we're not going to play that game. You're as good as Mr. Burke. You're not going to play that game. You're not answering the question. And every member of the media, everybody here, when you start going into the decorum of this house, when you start looking at members' telephone numbers, you start looking at reporters' telephone numbers, which they ought to be scared about, you took a subpoena for four. And then you decided to play match game. You found numbers that you thought were like, some of them actually didn't exist because they claimed that they were for the White House budget office, and they were not. So we're throwing stories out there because nobody was out there acting. So I go back to my question. Are you going to go on record in front of everybody here today and say that you will not tell who ordered this, you or Mr. Goldman? Mr. Goldman, you or Mr. Schiff?
I am going to go on record and tell you that I'm not going to reveal how we conducted this investigation.
And that's the problem we have with this entire thing. Mr. Schiff said behind closed doors.
I can tell you what the importance is.
I'm done with you for right now.
All right. I'm going to interrupt now. That's the exchange. Now, what they're talking about now is, of course, Adam Schiff or Daniel Goldman, the guy that's being interviewed, or whoever, issuing a congressional subpoena for the phone records, not going through a court, which is what the Fourth Amendment provides for all of us. Otherwise, the government can get any of your phone records and look into everything you're doing all the time without any protections, whether you're a congressman or a journalist or a private citizen. That Fourth Amendment is very important. It's put there for our protection so that government, as big and strong and capable as it is, cannot overwhelm a private citizen. And yet they breached that gap. They went through all these phone records. And now, according to Collins and according to also to Devin Nunes, who's been talking about this, some of those phone calls recorded don't even comport with his own phone records. Doug Collins is basically saying you falsified some numbers on that, and you surveilled journalists like John, whose last name escapes me, but other people besides Devin Nunes and others and his staffers. How dare you do that? Who did that? Who ordered that? Who asked for that? And of course, Daniel Goldman won't answer. I'm telling you, it gets me mad just thinking about it. And of course, that's the way it went yesterday. Now they're issuing two articles of impeachment. We know that the polls are showing that the support for impeachment is falling. Yet we know that Nancy Pelosi, at least the last count I knew about, had 228 members of her caucus in favor of at least impeachment inquiry. So we don't know where they are. Some are saying if she thought she had the votes, they would have already voted. Although others are saying, well, she would have the vote. She has the vote. She must. And so it's probably likely that they're going to be voting on this very soon. They are issuing those articles. And it's just it is a travesty for this country and for this nation. It is such a travesty. And yes, I am not forgetting about the other huge story that came out yesterday, and that's the Inspector General's report on the FISA abuse of the FBI and the Justice Department. What was that all about? I'm going to talk about it. But coming up next, we have a very special guest. It's somebody that you want to listen to. He goes by the name Bo Snerdly. Ring a bell with anyone? Anybody listen to Rush Limbaugh? Well, Bo, a.k.a. James Golden, has been his producer for over 20 years, and he has a new project he wants to talk to us about. Plus, I'm going to ask him, if I can, what he thinks about what happened yesterday and about the Inspector General's report. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Mark A. Brown, Chief Operating Officer of Federal Student Aid. His office provides grants, loans, and other financial aid funding for American students. Proverbs 1:5 reminds us of the importance of education. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Mark Brown as he works to help more Americans achieve their goals of higher education. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. 2020 Companion Prayer Journals now available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of Champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
Well, if you thought Santa's workshop was busy, wait until you get a load of what Ed Higginbotham has been up to. Mr. Higginbotham's workshop is located in Fayette County, Pennsylvania, not the North Pole. But he's been churning out hundreds and hundreds of wooden toys for the past year, trucks, horses, tractors, even fire trucks. It started out years ago as a hobby, but now it's become something of a mission to make sure every child in the county has a special handmade toy for Christmas. Not too bad for a toy maker who just turned 93 years old. Instead of a sleigh and eight tiny reindeer, he delivers the toys with a little help from a Pennsylvania state trooper. Mr. Higginbotham tells television station WLKY that he likes making people happy. And if that makes him Santa Claus, then just call him Kris Kringle. You can learn more about Mr. Higginbotham on my daily Toddcast podcast. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning.
It's chilling reading the Inspector General report. It is stunning the abuse of power that we saw in the Obama administration, and sadly it continued over in the deep state for the first couple of years of the Trump administration. You saw the abuse of power at the FBI, the abuse of power at the Department of Justice. And I got to say, as an alumnus of the Department of Justice, I'm angry. I think there are a lot of good men and women that serve at the Department of Justice and the FBI who are angry reading this report. The very best interpretation of the Horowitz Inspector General report is that the FBI and the Department of Justice were manifestly incompetent. The IG report outlines 17 factual misstatements that they made to the FISA court, and that they were utterly negligent in ordering the surveillance, the spying of a presidential nominee and of a sitting president. That's the most favorable interpretation. The real interpretation is these were hardcore political partisans that hated Donald Trump, and they were willing and complicit to abuse the power of law enforcement and intelligence and spy on a political opponent. I think this IG report is the first step in the wrongdoers being held accountable. I was very encouraged both by Attorney General Barr's statement and U.S. Attorney Durham's statement that more accountability will come, and I hope that those who abused power will be held to account. But I'll tell you why I'm also encouraged, because the entire Democratic show trial in the House is collapsing. We're seeing the media panicking. You know, you talked about Chuck Todd yesterday. The media is on full-on panic because what they hoped this impeachment trial would prove hasn't been proving, and it's like rats fleeing a sinking ship. The House, I assume, is going to have a partisan vote next week to impeach, but it's going to the Senate, and it's not going anywhere in the Senate. We're going to throw it out and reject it because it is based on no facts and no evidence.
All right, that was Senator Ted Cruz yesterday on Fox, and it just reminds me, he gave a great synopsis, and we are going to talk about the details of that, but I have to say that reminds me of the miracles, honestly, that are unreported that have come out of this whole process. I was thinking yesterday just about how Kevin McCarthy actually asked Jim Jordan to go over and represent the Republicans in that first impeachment inquiry, which is a miracle because there's such animosity between establishment Republicans and the Freedom Caucus. That was one miracle. And then here we have Ted Cruz defending pretty much President Trump. And that is that not a miracle? These are the untold, unreported stories that just occur to me. Well, the Inspector General's report came out yesterday. Ted just gave a great rundown. 17 errors the Inspector General calls them. Many of us would say they're much worse than errors. And also he concludes, and this is what if you're watching MSNBC or CNN, this is what they're saying. I'll give the Reuters headline. Justice Department watchdog finds 2016 launch of FBI probe of Trump advisors was legitimate. And then it goes on. Michael Horowitz says that he found no intentional misconduct or political bias surrounding the probe's launch into Carter Page. All right. With that, I want to introduce our next guest because, well, most of us know this name, even if we don't know the person behind the name. For years, Rush Limbaugh has had a producer who periodically can be heard, but not for years we didn't hear his voice. And he was called Bo Snerdly. Remember that? He was always asking Bo questions and bouncing things off of him. We know now, of course, that Bo Snerdly is really James Golden. James is himself a radio host out of New York City. He was for a certain time. He's been the senior producer for Rush Limbaugh for over 20 years. And he started a new entity, and we're going to get to that. But James lives and breathes the news. I know he does. He has to. And so I wanted him to join us this morning so we could talk about his new project and also what's happening in the news. So, James, thanks for joining me this morning.
Honored and delighted, Sandy. Thank you so much for having me.
Bo, I have a fun memory, and then I want to move on. When I was president of CWA, I wasn't hosting that night, but I was on Crossfire now I'm just going blank. Who is our nemesis on Crossfire 20 years ago? James.
Oh, I know who you mean, and I'm going blank.
You
too. It just seems Michael Hensley was.
Oh, it was Tucker Carlson
there.
And James. How could I forget that? Anyway, he was blustering and doing what he always does, telling lies. James Carville. And so I finally got exasperated with him and said, I told him he was drooling and dripping. I said, "You're dripping," because he was just in a rage and frothing. He really was. And the next day when I came to the office, there was this big sign on my door that said CWA, babe. And my staff had told me that your boss, Rush, had referred to me over and over on the air playing that clip as the CWA babe. I'm sure you were working for him then, Bo. Don't expect you to remember that, but that was my fun memory of all that.
Oh, that is too much fun. Yes,
yeah.
And I was working with him back then. Had to be. Those were the days. He used to call James Carville Serpent Head, actually.
Yes.
That was his nickname for James Carville.
I remember. Well, Bo, you've been a host and a producer. I'm wondering, which do you prefer? Seriously, which is more fun?
I have enjoyed so much working behind the scenes most of my career. You know, I came up in radio. My cousin was a disc jockey in New York. I walked into a radio station when I was 14 years old. Most of my career, I've been behind the scene. I did a stretch on the air. I loved it. But when I thought it was time to be over, it was over, and I never looked back. And I've always enjoyed working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, of course, working with Rush is just incredible. I mean, how many opportunities does one get to work with the person that's absolutely the best at what they do and is recognized as such? And he's just a phenomenal broadcaster. He's a phenomenal human being. And it's just been a sheer delight, a sheer blessing. I say it's the greatest, one of the greatest blessings of my life was to be able to work with Rush. And it's closer to 30 years, not 20.
Wow. Well, you know what? I don't doubt that at all. And I certainly do, absolutely, as a broadcaster who's been doing this for a number of years myself, would agree with you that Rush always hits the mark. He always hits the mark. You know, radio is kind of like, I used to be a musician, and my performance often kind of depended on how I felt physically. You know, if you didn't feel well or if you were depressed or whatever was happening or you were happy, it would affect your performance. And I would say that Rush just almost lets almost nothing interfere with his delivery. And I think it's a marvelous thing. And it's not just that, Bo. It's also, of course, I called you Bo. Sorry, James. It's also
That's
just
okay.
the fact.
No, it's fine.
You have participated in a cataclysmic historical thing. Rush is not a thing of joking. Rush is a force to be reckoned with. And the change and effect he's had on the culture is immeasurable. And yet we know from the left and the right that he has profoundly changed the times in which we live. And you've been right there with the front row seat.
Absolutely. So. You know, when Rush first started, there were 1,200 radio stations that were doing some sort of talk format. Now there are over 12,000. When he first started, there was no Fox News. There was also no cottage industry for conservatives in the print media. After his first two books, that changed. After he did his television show, shortly after that, Fox News came on. He has profoundly influenced the media in this country. Without him, there's no question that conservative media would not be where it is.
Oh, I totally agree. That's not an overstatement. It's absolutely gospel truth. And let me ask you this. This is an aside. You didn't know this was coming, but there's a report in PJ Media this morning that is indicating that one of your great partners in the early years and up until recently, one of mine too, because I've depended on Matt Drudge and the Drudge Report a great deal for information up until the last couple of years. And so there's speculation from PJ Media this morning that Drudge has sold his website, or at least he's not actually the point person because the content has so dramatically altered. I could say what I think about the content. It's not just leftist views. It's a lot of salacious stuff, really. It's kind of degenerated into something, although there are some jewels on it still, but not many. I wonder if you have any thoughts about that you could share, James.
You know, I have very little insight into that. The way that we divide labor around, I have not spent a lot of time on Drudge because, as you know, there are so many media outlets now. So most of my reading in the morning is with other outlets. And so I haven't spent time, but I've been hearing from people the past few months with how unhappy they were with some of the changes there. And I read some of the speculation. I heard some of it yesterday. So I don't have any insight to bring with that. I'm curious as you are as to what the real story is there.
Yeah, me too. And I want to interject, Dan Bongino is starting, has a site that he wants to be the new Drudge. And Dan is, I know him personally, Dan is just solid as a rock. And if there's anyone I would trust to be that new person, it would be Dan. I just wanted to interject that. I want to ask you, before we go to your new journey pack, which is a great story in itself, I want to know what you think, James. I talked quite a bit about the hearings before you joined me, but I did not talk much about the report yet. The Horowitz report, everybody's writing and talking about it, and all of us have kind of something that catches our eye. And I'm wondering, what is it that you're hearing and seeing that is catching your attention in that report?
Well, the Horowitz report, we were primed and ready. The fact that this was not going to be what a lot of people were anticipating it was going to be, which was the real bottom line of what happened, especially with the FISA warrant and the way that the entire process was abused. I am not going to invest a lot in this report because we know there's more coming. And I think the more coming, as you indicated, I heard what you said, I think the more coming is what we're looking for, where there will be some accountability, we hope, finally, where we actually will get the answer as to who some of the players were. There's no question that we have seen corruption on a scale in the FBI, and not just in the FBI, by the way, with some of our intelligence agencies inside the State Department. We've seen corruption on a level that is unparalleled. This was a coup attempt. This was an attempt to take down the President of the United States by his political opponents, by a previous administration. I don't know whether there will ever be accountability all the way up the chain. But there needs to be accountability, and some of these bad actors in not just the FBI, but the intelligence community and also the State Department and some of the other agencies in government who have actively been working to tear down this president, they need to be held accountable.
It is so discouraging. As always, and I know that we're on the same page with this, I know that Rush is too, it is so discouraging. To see people get away with now such blatant lawlessness. And then yesterday, it's pretty hard to take. A lot of the characters that were the object of this report take sort of a victory lap. James Comey was one of them. Now this shows that, the people at the FBI were always honorable and we did nothing wrong. Andrew McCabe, who was the acting director for a while, had a statement, and this is clip 17. Let's just listen for a second.
It's been disgusting to watch how the president talks about all of us, how he debases and degrades our organization, how he and the attorney general, to some extent, have leveled all kinds of false, baseless accusations about the work that we did.
Andrew McCabe, and then there are others. Christopher Wray's taking a victory lap, too, in kind of a self-satisfied that he's doing his job. And also, the attorney general sort of bragged on Christopher Wray, the current FBI director, and that was disturbing to me, James. I don't know how that struck you.
Well, it is all disturbing, but I take solace in the fact that we're not at the end of this story yet. Yeah. They can take their victory laps now. We are not at the end of this story. And I do have faith that before this story concludes, the truth of what happened will emerge, or at least enough of the truth that some of these people that are taking victory laps right now might have to lawyer up.
Yep, that's right, James. And let me add, this was the most stunning thing to me. Our response to the report was that U.S. Attorney John Durham, who's been busily, we know he's convened a grand jury. We know that he has the ability to indict, convict, at least try to convict various people in this. And he issued a statement, which was amazing. And he said, based on the evidence collected to date, and while our investigation is ongoing, last month we advised the Inspector General that we do not agree with some of the report's conclusions as to the predication and how the FBI case was opened. And I also add that the Attorney General said pretty much the same thing, that we don't agree with the Inspector General. That was pretty stunning, don't you think?
I think it was extremely stunning. It's unprecedented. And that is the biggest hint that what is to come will blow this out of the water. So, as I said, they can take their victory laps now. I think within a few months, they'll be lawyering up.
Yeah,
because
I think
the truth will emerge. Look, anyone that's been following this story knows that it's evident that there was corruption at a massive scale. Anyone that's followed the story of the FBI, Stroke, Lisa Page, McCabe, understands that there was political intent. Anyone that goes back even further and looks at the way that James Comey handled Hillary Clinton and the details there know that there was political intent.
Yep.
These things are not hidden from half the country who've been following it.
That's right. James
so
Golden is my guest.
Victory laps on CNN,
yep.
But many of us know better. And
James
we're
Golden
waiting to see what will happen in the long term.
All right, James Hess, stay with me, because when we come back, I want to talk to you about this new entity that you have. It's fascinating to me. It's called the New Journey Pack, so don't go away. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The Church of God in Christ has unanimously adopted an historic life-affirming resolution. It states, abortion is genocide. The Church of God in Christ opposes elective abortions. The issue of personhood has haunted America since the Dred Scott, Plessy versus Ferguson, and Roe v. Wade decisions. Just as slavery was overturned in America, Jim Crow was defeated, and Nazi Germany was overthrown, it is our prayer that the heinous industry of abortion will become morally reprehensible. Therefore, be it finally resolved that the Church of God in Christ denounces the systematic destruction of human life by way of abortion.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas. But what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Hate-filled Democrats are aghast that President Trump, in their view, has used the power of his office to dig up dirt on Joe Biden. But Trump didn't ask President Zelensky, will you do me a favor? He said, can you do us a favor? The us is us, America. Ukrainian dirty money was being used to buy access to the top levels of the American government and to interfere with our election system. Ukraine even sent somebody to prison for interfering with the U.S. election in 2016. The Democrats accused Trump of abusing the power of his office for personal gain, but if that's bad, the Democrats are far worse. Since this hate impeachment has started, Democrat office holders have done nothing but abuse the power of their office to dig up dirt on President Trump to throw him out of the White House. Maybe it's time the Democrats clean up their own house first.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Chinese Communist Party is rolling out its so-called social credit system. As Bill Gertz reports in the Washington Times, quote, China is developing a new high-tech system of mass surveillance and coercion aimed at suppressing political dissent among its 1.4 billion people while forcing American and Western businesses to conform to the government's communist policies if they want to operate there, unquote. Ominously, this super Orwellian means of oppression is not intended just for those living and doing business in China. It's being made available for export to the PRC's fellow totalitarians elsewhere. Hikvision is one of the Chinese communist suppliers of the technology that enables the social credit system. It is consequently illegal for Americans to do business with that company. Yet, incredibly, Wall Street is causing millions of us, including shortly government employees, to invest in it. That must stop. This is Frank Affney.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
No, Eisenhower was a Republican.
Racist.
But he sent troops into Little Rock. He integrated schools for African-American kids.
Who else?
Nixon.
Racist.
Wait a minute. Nixon started affirmative action. He helped so many African Americans.
Next.
Ronald Reagan.
Child, you know he was a racist.
Are you kidding? More African Americans benefited under his economy than...
Please, who else?
The Bushes, 41 and 42.
Child, that whole family is racist.
Are you kidding me? The black middle class skyrocketed. School choice, vouchers.
Give me somebody else.
Donald Trump.
Racist, racist, racist.
Hold on a second. Best African American employment ever. Against regulations that hurt African American businesses as well as illegal immigration.
Racist. But I am starting to see a pattern here.
Yeah, me too.
All right. That is the voice of Bo Snerdly, a.k.a. James Golden, who is the senior producer for Rush Limbaugh and has been for almost 30 years, as he corrected us earlier. And he has started a new enterprise. Probably, maybe some of you don't know that James is black. How would you know? Because isn't Russia racist, too? James, isn't Russia racist, too?
Oh, everybody's a racist. Everybody's a racist. Liberals.
Because so,
a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, or a xenophobe.
I know. Isn't it funny? You know, because I have to say, my husband is a former FBI agent. When I married him, he had bought a home in what we call a transitional neighborhood in Chicago. Well, let me just say that across the street was a crack dealer, and it was a very interesting neighborhood. And so that's where we lived when we first got married. And of course, he and I, Bruce, has worked, of course, with the FBI for a number of years. Has so many friends who are black, and me too. And yet the left will constantly accuse those of us that are conservative, we are racist. And my husband will always say, are you kidding me? You know, how many, like the people of Minnesota, how many minority neighbors do you have and friends? You know, we live that. It's not like a novel thought. And yet the left is always accusing the right, as they do Russia, being racist. And yet I'm sure you and Russia have been very close for years. And that's just silly. So you have started this PAC. Now, we should explain, James, let me just read your words from your webpage. We will engage with truth and perseverance. We will use every weapon in our communication and technological arsenal, including strategic marketing, rapid response, and accurate polling to deliver insightful messaging that is informative, emphatic, and humorous. More importantly, it will speak the language of ethnic voters and non-voters. The challenges facing the Republican Party are not one-cycle problems, and the results will not be achieved in one cycle. New journey is here for the long haul. Okay, so, James, I think probably I should ask you a personal question first. You were then on the cutting edge of being a conservative black man 30 years ago. How did that go down with your own family and in your own life?
It's actually a fascinating question. Thank you. When I first began working with Rush, members of the church that I grew up in, Grace United Methodist Church in St. Albans, Queens, my mother is highly involved in the church. She's also a Democrat Party hack. So members of the church asked my mom, hey, what happened to your son? And she relayed the question to me. So I just told Mom, I said, you know, here's what you can tell them. I still have all of the values, and I'm living the values that I grew up in the church. I also am still living the values that you and Dad taught me coming up and the belief system that you and Dad taught me coming up. So the real question isn't what happened to me, it's what happened to you.
Wow.
And that is the truth. Most black families at one point it was true that many black families across the country are conservatives. They are not not liberals. They live their lives with conservative values, especially those closest to the church. But there is a disconnect when it comes to voting for liberals and for the liberals in the Democratic Party and the progressive movement. If you look historically, Sandy, the progressive movement is what actually set race relations in this country back. The progressive movement is what ushered in the Jim Crow era. The progressive movement is what forcefully, to this day, represents genocide in the African American community by the name of Planned Parenthood.
All true. And also, I think just as you said, they're stirring up race relations now, which to me is tremendous grief. I hate the fact that they, under Obama, they started stoking it. Now it's getting worse with the New York Times doing this new 2020 project, that everything is about race. Everything. We're all racist. Everything's racist. And James, it has disrupted relationships. It's caused angst in ways that I thought we were past that. Now, I know that we can't all be. I know there's still racism. I'm not stupid to think that. But I have to say, in my own personal life, there wasn't. We were enjoying relationships and just not thinking about that. But it's like the pot has been stirred. And I really resent that, I have to say.
A lot of people do. And that's one of the reasons we started NewJourney.org. What we're going to do with New Journey, the first thing that we're going to do is help black conservatives get elected to office so we can have their contributions in our policy discussions. We are going to help this president get reelected. Do you know that there was a 400% increase in the number of black entrepreneurs during the first 18 months of Donald Trump's administration?
Wow.
We are also going to help conservatives in battleground states get elected. But long term, Sandy, our vision is to place an office in every single blue city in America.
Wow.
We are going to fight these racial narratives by demonstrating to our fellow citizens who we conservatives really are, what we're doing. You know, it's very difficult to come in as an outsider when you don't have a presence in a neighborhood, to come in every 4 years and say, ooh, please vote for us. We're not the evil people that you've been told we are for the last 50 years. So what we want to do is begin the process of helping to educate our fellow citizens about who we are with deeds, not just words, and not just coming out every 4 years asking for a vote.
James, I have to tell you, I was in Chicago's my hometown, and I was there on radio for years, and then, of course, just lived there, raised my kids there. But when I got into the public sphere, I had, of course, a ton of black listeners in my drive time radio show every day. And I heard from my friends in the community and people I ended up working with a constant theme. And that was we agree with Republicans. Some of them, which, you know, obviously come go public on the life issue, other things, but we don't feel like the Republican Party cares about us. They don't ever come in. They don't really ever campaign or spend money. And I knew that was true because I had my feet in both worlds. And so, like, the Republican, many of them didn't have friends in the black community, didn't even know how to go about reaching them. And my point is, I think this is a long overdue, tremendous need, because I agree with you. I think there are so many black Americans that are not crazy leftist liberals, which is who's running the Democratic Party right now. And they need something to help them to unite and organize around principles, which is, it sounds like to me, that's what you're doing. And I want to ask you something.
That is exactly what we want to do.
Do you want regular people listening? Because I have a lot of black conservatives who listen to this show. Do you want people listening to kind of join with you? Or is this something that you're, it's a top-down
thing? Join with us, not just black conservatives. We have an easy-to-get-to web destination called MAGA.black. MAGA.black. If you can't remember NewJourneyPAC.org, which is a lot to type in, NewJourneyPAC.org, just go to MAGA.black. We're inviting everybody to come in. We want to grow a movement, and that movement is basically to help turn around elective politics by having more black conservatives there, but also by having more conservatives, doesn't matter what race. Our long-term goals, as I said, is not just to reach out to black Americans. Look, we have people of every hue and color that are already helping us. We have Indians from India who are in America. We have American Indians. We have women, white women, black women. We have Asian people that we are reaching out to. We're reaching out to everybody. Look, conservatism is what is going to help this country get back in the direction that it's supposed to. You know, I grew up in the black culture in America, and I just have to tell you, the black culture is in trouble in this country.
Yeah.
It's in trouble, and people don't want to talk about that because that's really uncomfortable. But when you look at what's happened, not just in the music and the arts, you can see this almost devolution from where it was to where it is now. The cultural things are a little bit harder to address, but the political ones we can address, and we are going to start that process, and we invite everybody to join us.
All right, we'll put that on our Facebook page, MAGA.black, MAGA.black. We'll also put New Journey Pack to cover both bases. You know, there was a poll, there were two polls that came out a couple of weeks ago, I think before Thanksgiving, that said that support among African-American voters for President Trump had reached something like 37%, one poll said. Does that resonate with you, James? Because, that's just the question. Does that amount resonate with you? Does that make sense to you?
Yes, there were two polls that the liberals actually find credible, and then you had the Rasmussen poll, which also indicated that it's anywhere between 33 and upwards. So here's what resonates with me. We have more black Americans right now, and Hispanic Americans, and Americans in general, working than in any other time in our history. 5 years ago, what were some of these parents telling their children? They were trying to prep their children that Christmas wasn't going to be, at least from a material standpoint, what maybe their expectations were. This year, they don't have to do that, okay, because the economy is robust. We have more black entrepreneurs here. You have more people participating in the economy, and I'm not coming from Pollyanna land. I mean, a lot of people are still working two jobs to make ends meet. I get that, but at least they can find the first and the second job, and that's what's important. They can find the work, and they are willing to work. You know, America is it's the most wonderful country on the face of the earth. We have more innovation. We are the most charitable, the most giving country in history, and we have a people that want to work, that want to contribute, that want to make not only their lives better, but the lives of their community, and spread that vibe around the world. And we want to help do our part.
James, it's been 30 years, I've been thinking, or almost, since you probably had that conversation with your mother and your father, and you probably had it many times since then. But in 30 years, do you think that your own family understands you better?
You know, here's the thing. Even though my mom was asking me that, my mother always understood me. My dad passed many years ago, and he understood me too. You know what? My parents are the most wonderful parents on the face of the earth. They encouraged us to think for ourselves. They encouraged us to follow our own passions. Just be honest. Just walk with God. Just do what is right. So even though I've been a conservative, my mother has never, she asked me questions, and we teased with each other about our political differences, but it was always in a spirit of love and support. I have had nothing but support from my mom and when my dad was living and my dad. It's just, I had the most incredible childhood. I wish every American could have the kind of childhood I had.
Yeah, that's a great report. And all right, so back to the country, though. I have a sense, James, that a black leadership is going to be what's going to turn this country around. I've had that sense for a long time. And I'd like to know, we have 30 seconds left. How do you see this thing playing out? Can you really be successful with this New Journey Pack?
God willing, God help, yes, we will be successful.
All right, I think you will be too. And listen, may God protect you, James, as you continue to, behind the scenes, be such an incredible influence on this country. And maybe now not so much behind the scenes, but thank you for this effort. I think it's really an idea that's way overdue. Its time has come, and I wish you nothing but the best and God's biggest blessing on you and your endeavors. Thanks so much, James Golden. It's great to meet you by phone. Thanks for talking to me this morning.
God bless you, Sandy, and thank you for this opportunity.
My pleasure. All right, well, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.